week's parasha is Parashat Kisisa, and right after Purim, the title was Exposed. We just had a lot of exposure yesterday. Some people were exposing, fake exposure, masks. We have Nichnas Yayin Yotzah Soid, we're drinking, and all our person's insides come out, both in their guf and in spirit. Different insides come out. So, talk a little about Chitzonius. Parashas Kisisa begins, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Leimar, Kisisa Asroish B'nei Yisrael, Lefkudeihem. When you lift up the heads of Klal Yisrael, according to their numbers, v'nasu ish koyfer nafshei, everybody should give a kapara for soul Hashem, b'fkoydei sam, when you count them, v'lo yeh negev b'fkoydei sam, and there won't be a plague if you count them in this manner. We all know this is the parasha that we read for Parashas Shkolim. Vilna Gaon says that the three things that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand, only three. You guys know what they are? And Hashem had to show it to him. Number one was the first one was the Kiddush Levana, yeah, the Kiddush Achaydesh, Menorah, and Shkolim. When the guy says was Isis Moshe, Menorah, Shkolim, and Achaydesh. These are the three things Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't fathom, he couldn't understand, and Hashem had to show him. By Achaydesh, Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Levana in its exact, perfect, just beginning new form of a new month. And the Menorah, we know Hashem showed him Menorah Shalesh, and also Shkolim. And L'chaira, the one that is least understood by us is, what's the big deal? Who doesn't understand money? At least who wants to admit they don't understand money? Money! Machz is a shekel, okay? Machz is a shekel. So, what's Pshat HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show, Zeh Yitnu! Pasuk says, the third Pasuk in this week's Pasuk, Zeh Yitnu, this they should give. And Rashi says, Hera loikim in matbeya shalesh. Shem showed Moshe Rabbeinu a coin of fire. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was enlightened. This is what they got to give. There's a lot of drush spoken about it. And I'll attempt to give something that came to mind. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Yudam Adbeis, speaks about the tremendous value of tzedakah. So Gemara brings down Omar Moshe, Omar Rebbe Yavo, Omar Moshe l'chnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbeinu Shel Olam, Bameh Torum Keren Yisrael. How can we uplift, raise up the pride of Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael's down, they're feeling low, they've sinned, low self-confidence. How do we lift up? How do you lift up a Jew? You send him to my son-in-law, the doctor. He'll talk to you, he'll sit back in the recliner. My father always used to make jokes with Yaakov Solomon, you know. I wish he had his job, you know. Sit down, fall asleep, and tell his patients, you know, you're cured. Psychologist, how do you live, give somebody self-confidence? All right, who do you hate and who abused you and who insulted you? And I don't know, you work through the therapy and you fix the guy up. How do you lift up a Jew? The Eberster told Moshe Rabbeinu, Bekisisa. Kisisa. That's how you lift up a Jew. Pasuk says, Kisisa. We all teach it. The simple meaning is counting. Kisisa, Asroish B'nei Yisrael, when you count the heads of Klal Yisrael, you do a head count. But here the Gemara is teaching Kisisa literally. Kisisa, Asroish B'nei Yisrael, when you lift up the heads of the Jews. How's that done? By giving tzedakah. Giving tzedakah lifts you up. L'chaira, we need a psychologist. What does giving tzedakah have anything to do with lifting us up? Further in the parsha, you know that these number of parshiyos all discuss the binyan HaMishkan. Some of us that are more mechanically and structurally inclined may find it very interesting, and the art and the beauty, it's And those of us that are not so into that may find it not so interesting. But the parasha says, we do the pasuk over here. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe leimar. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, Re'ei, look, Karasi b'shem, I have called with a name, Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur l'mata Yehuda. Look at the name of Betzalel. Va'amale yoytzai ruach alekim, I filled him with the spirit of God, b'chachma, tfuna, b'das, v'chom alacha, l'achshay, makshava, islasay, b'zava. He understands everything. He unbelievable wisdom and depth that Betzalel had in the binyan of the Kelim. And this wasn't just structurally. The Ramban says, what was the big deal about Betzalel? That he understood the tremendous depth of meaning within each and every single minute detail of the Mishkan and what it represented on high and how each thing had its spiritual effects and powers. He understood the entire panemius of the Mishkan inside and out. And he knew how to bring it out into physical form with the binyan of the Kalim to the exact, correct way that it should work. But it's a funny expression that a Kaddish Baruch Hu says, look, Karasi B'Shem Betzalel, look at his name, Betzalel. And we know, what is Betzalel? Betzel Kel, in the shadow of God. All right. You know, the other names you could use that represent someone who's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, all the El names, you know, Uziel and Eliezer and and Yechezkel, and there's a lot of names that show people are right there with Hashem. What's Betzalel specifically? Betzel Kel, in the shadow of God. What was so special about his name? There's an interesting halacha about the Mishkan. We learn out the malacha on Shabbos from the Mishkan. All the 39 malachas of Shabbos we learned from the Mishkan. One of them was writing, ksiva. How'd they write? Where'd they write in the Mishkan? So Rashi in Masechta Shabbos says that one of the people, I guess the Levium, would write on the crushing, on each keresh, he would write Aleph, Beis, like we do with our sukkahs. You know, a little number on it to know which keresh, which one of the beams should go, you know, for the next time, and they dismantle them and put them back together again, you know where they go. Now, we do it for our sukkahs because from year to year, our sukkahs sag and bend a little and warp a little, and they're not going to fit in any other way than we've always been doing them. So we mark them. We need them, or the pinholes for the decorations. You know, you need it in the right spot, otherwise the decorations aren't going to hang correctly. That's why we do it. But why was it needed the Mishkan? The Mishkan was perfect and exact. Every single keresh was 100% perfectly squared. The tremendous, tremendous craftsmanship that went into the Mishkan was unbelievable. They didn't need to mark them because things were being warped and bumpy. And why'd they have to write Aleph Beis? And who cares? They're all the same. All the crushim, except for the corner pieces. Just the corner ones. All the other ones were the same. Who cares where they went? And yet, I saw brought down in the Sefer Chavetzelas HaSharoin, who brings from the Meshech Chachma, who brings, it says about Atoymer Esther B'Shem Mordechai, so I'm going to say B'Shem Amrei. So, B'Shem the Meshech Chachma, B'Shem a Yerushalmi, Yisach the Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis in the Yerushalmi, the Gemara says, Pasuk says, V'Hakimoysa Es HaMishkan Kimishpatay, set up the Mishkan like its laws, Kimishpatay. Yerushalmi says, "V'chi mishpat yeish l'krashim? Is there a law regarding the krashim? You have the keresh, put it up, and have a nice day." Zok the Yerushalmi, no. The positioning of the krashim had to be exact, the same. And where the keresh was the first time it was put up, it had to be the same place the next time. What's wrong with it? It's a little strange. So one more point, to get to the Mishkan, is that we find in 2 weeks parsha, in Parsha Pekudei, is it together this year? It's together. Okay, next week's parsha. Yaakov Pekudei and Pekudei, right in the beginning of Pekudei, Rashi brings down this little discussion that Moshe and Betzalel had. With the actual performance in the building of the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to start with the Kelim and finish off with the Mishkan itself, with the building. And Bezalel said, no, the way to do it, first let's build the building, and then we'll go to the Kelim. So Bezalel says, Minaga Olam Hu. So I'll read you the Rashi. Omar Loi Bezalel, Minaga Olam, the Minaga of the world, normally, is Tchila Bayis. First you make the house. The Achakach Meizim Kelim Bezaychai. Afterwards you bring the Kelim in. So also we should start with the Mishkan and go to the Kelim. First of all, what's Pshat Machlokes? And Moshe Rabbeinu agrees to him. Oh, when he says, "Oh, my Lord, Kach Shemati Mipi Hakadosh Baruch Hu." You're right. That's what Hakadosh Baruch Hu meant. That's the way it's supposed to be. Oh, my Lord, Moshe, Bitzil Kel Hayisa. Again, this funny lashon. You've been in the shadow of Hashem. Wow, this is unbelievable. Bitzil Kel, you're in the shadow of Hashem. That you figured this out. What's the big deal? Bitzil Kel. And anyway, he said, Minaga Olam, he was talking practical, just, this is what you do, first you have the house, and then you furnish it. So what's Taka Pshat that Moshe Rabbeinu first argued? And what was the tremendous thing, the tremendous insight, Bezalel Kel, and that he agreed to Bezalel in the end? Let's move on to Purim. Gemara Masechtas Megillah Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. It's a well-known Gemara. Shalu Talmidim Yesub Shimon Bar Yochai. Talmidim Yesub Shimon Bar Yochai. You'll learn a little Kabbalah here. All right, not Kabbalah. Mipnei Man Eschayv Useinayin Shal Yisrael Shebo Yisei Ador Klaya. Why was Klai Yisrael Chayv to get destroyed in the times of Haman? Amalehem Imru Atem. Why don't you guys give a pshat? So they said, they had enough from the Sudas Achashverosh. So he responded, only those in Shushan actually ate from the Suda, the others didn't. So why were all of Klai Yisrael to be destroyed? So Amrulai, the Talmidim said, okay, you know better than us. Emarata, you tell us, Pshat, why were they in the Chayiv Klaya? Amalehem. Because 70 years before, approximately, or not really 70 years, they've all bowed down to the tremendous statue that Nebuchadnezzar had made. And since they bowed down to this statue, it wasn't a real Avodah Zarah, Tosfos Ksuba says, but they bowed down to the statue, and therefore they were neschayev to be destroyed. Amulai, so they said to him, V'chimasui ponim yesh bedavar? Is there a way to get out of such a gzera? Such a sin? Such a terrible low that Klai Yisrael sank to, that they bowed down to the Tselem that Nebuchadnezzar created. The Chimasev, how did Klai Yisrael get out of the Gzerah? How were they saved? Omalehem. And according to many, this is where we get our minig to dress up on Purim. Omalehem, he responded to them, Heim loy asu ela leponim. Ava kadish baruch hu loy asu imon ela leponim. Klal Yisrael only bowed down to this statue, leponim, as a facade, for face. They didn't have any belief in that statue. They didn't have their heart there. There was no real respect given. It was just on the outside. It was just a facade. It was a political move that they had to make to bow down to the statue. It was just on the outside. It was just leponim. It was just a facade. It was just on the face. So, Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu like Asi Iman El Leponim. So the Gzeirah itself of Haman was just a facade. It was all a fake. It was all just on the outside. And on that it says the pasuk, Ki lo ina mi libay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pain that he brought upon Klai Yisrael was not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heart. It was a fake out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on an upset face as if he was extremely angry with Klai Yisrael, scared the wits out of them. But it was all a facade. It was a joke. And this is where we get a minig, according to many, this is where we get a minig. That in Purim, we all put on a fake, we put on a fake, a mask, a facade, we represent ourselves in a way that we are really not. That's Purim. The facade that Klai Yisrael did, L'chaira, was a very simple little thing. I mean, it was, like we said, it was a political move. They bowed down, they put their heads down, Shkoyach, no belief involved. Now, if it's real Avodah Zarah, you're not even allowed to do that. You have to give up your life, even just to do an outward act. of bowing down, a derech avoda of avodah zara, even if your heart's not there, you chayav your harik v'ayav. But this was not real avodah zara. This was not real avodah zara. So what was it? It was a sign of respect to Nebuchadnezzar or whatever it was. It was a statue, and they bowed down. So who cares? What was it? What was the big deal? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Leponim to Klal Yisrael, the Gzeiras Haman, was a big deal. Klal Yisrael was they were terrified. Their faces were black and they were sitting in mourning and they were fasting 3 days, 3 nights. And it was tzaris, it was horrible. You have a guy like the president of Iran, like about to shoot a missile at you. They were terrified for a long time. And this is the punishment for just this little bowing down that they did to the tzelem. And what does all this have to do with Adela Yoda anyway? Get drunk. Adela Yoda. So I was in Landau on Friday, the day of the big storm. And I got out early and everything, but I wasn't going to try to find parking near my yeshiva. I was driving by Landau, I found the spot. I pulled in, and that's where I sat down and went to the Ezra Snoshim, and I was learning there. So it's about 11:30. They started another minyan for Shachris downstairs. And I hear the chazan starts pounding away. Azad davening, mamish, screaming, Yiskadal, Yiskadash, screaming away. All those 11:30 fellows there, oh man! And I'm telling you, think they were at a, you know, the World Series, you know, like, yeah, rooting for that team, oh man! And the Shimon, Kedusha, Kaddish, it was unbelievable. And then I recognized the Chazan's voice. And I was like, oh my gosh, this can't be my old buddy from 15 years ago. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And it's my old buddy. I'm embarrassed to say, I closed my Gemara for a minute, and I went downstairs to actually see. And the Taka was my old buddy from 15 years before. So just so happens, after davening, he comes upstairs to learn also. So I told him, I said, Tznius. You guys are all looking at me like I'm crazy. Tznius. It's a mitzvah called Tznius. Tznius means to contain yourself. Whether it's containing body parts, containing emotions, containing information. Shaul HaMelech, the Gemara Megillah, Shaul HaMelech had the Mila of Tznius, which he got from his great-great-grandmother, Rachel Imenu. Tznius. What was Tznius? The fact that he knew he was destined to be the first king of Klal Yisrael. Very in advance, before he became king, and he didn't tell anybody. That was his Tznius. And Rachel and Esther was Ein Magedes. She didn't say her nationality. Tznius. This is all a Gemara. You see, the Tznius has nothing necessarily to do with the body part. Tznius is containing something that should not be exposed. So I told him, I said, you're having gewaltige kavana and you're up there with the Ibishter and you just get down, Yiskadash, and the love of God is just flowing from your heart. But you have to contain it within yourself a little. You can't express it to everybody like that. So he turns to me, he says, Tovi, it's Purim! This is Friday. It's really early. It's Purim! No, you feel Purim? It's Purim! What Tznius? It's Purim! Wow. This connection between Purim and his davening. I'm not making this up. This happened all on Friday. The Medrash says as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to build the Mishkan, Mishachanti b'soicham, I'm going to rest my Shechina there. So the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu says, how is it possible says, Hashemayim Ushmei Hashemayim Lo Yechal Kalucha. The heavens and all the spiritual bodies on high are not capable of withstanding and holding the Shechina, Kivayakal. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're telling me to build this little 50 by 100, this little Mishkan, less, 20 by 10, the Mishkan, the Chatzim. You're telling me to build the Mishkan, and that's going to contain the Shechina in this world? How's it going to work? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't worry. Talk to Eibishter. Re'ei. Try to read the Pasuk. I have it with me right now. Hashem says, what you saw on Har Sinai when you came up those 40 days and 40 nights, whatever you saw up in the heavens, that's what you're going to be building down on earth. You saw Malachim, you're going to be putting down Malachim. You saw Srafim Oimdim, you're going to make Atzei Shitim Oimdim. You saw this. Every single thing that you saw up in Shemayim, where's the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to be building down on this world a physical, materialistic representative and an image of that. And I'm going to rest my Shechinah. How? What? What? Hashem says, I'm going to show you the image, how to build the Mishkan, and you just follow, you just make it in that picture. Everything I show you, the Nevuah, that's what you should build. So the Rambam, Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Shla, and probably any other great Risha and Achroin that go into this matter all bring out a very similar point. And that is that the Mishkan is representative of the world at large. And the world really is also an image of the Olam HaSel Yainim. And the human body, the Gemara is about this, the human body is also every single thing in the human body is a representation of something that's in the world. Similarly, we know that the neshama, the human body has 248 parts and 365, sagidim, there's 365 gidim. And the neshama as well, there's 365 spiritual limbs to the soul. And this, and 365 spiritual gidim, 248 spiritual limbs to the soul. And when we say that the body is a representative of the neshama, or of the world, it doesn't just mean that it's a picture, and it's a mashal. I'm going to try to give you a little mashal of what it is. I'll give you a few mashal. Anybody here have a glove? No? Okay. If you put on a glove, you hold up two fingers. What do you see? What do you say? Two, you see two fingers. What do you mean? You don't see two fingers. You see a glove. No? You see a piece of leather. You don't see two fingers. But yet we all know that when the glove is waving, it's not the glove that's waving. There's a hand waving. All you're seeing is the glove. The body is the glove of the neshama. Whatever the body is doing, the neshama is doing. There's 248 limbs in the body. There's 200 spiritual limbs in the neshama. The Chafetz Chaim says that if your tongue is inoperative spiritually, ba'olam hazeh, the neshama's tongue, b'tchias ha'mesim, you're not going to have an operative tongue. He speaks about it b'negiyah d'shmiyus ha'lashon. Yechayte with your tongue, you're going to deform the spiritual tongue that you're going to have lost in love. You listen to the wrong things, you're going to have deformed ears. Lost it, lovely. Because the spiritual neshama, that limb, it's not just tamazai that it's a marshal to it, it's there. What you're seeing is a glove, what you're seeing is a skin. Now you're talking computer terminology, right? There's something called a skin. You can have the exact same program, but it's different skins. It just looks different on the screen. But it's the exact same thing, same buttons, same features, same everything. It's a different skin, the appearance is different. But the actual program behind it is the exact same thing. You have it in computer programming. What you see on the screen, is that the program? Somebody that programs HTML programming. I got a little understanding in this lately. HTML. You see something on the screen, but there's a whole bunch of words behind the screen. You're seeing this picture, and really it's you know, it's a bunch of colons and commas and exclamation points and slashes and codes and who knows what. And it's producing a picture. You see a picture, a programmer sees numbers. When you see a face, a makubal sees a soul. When you see a tree, a biologist sees cells. When we see a body, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees a soul. The reason why we learn the Malacha on Shabbos from the Mishkan is because the Mishkan, representing being an image of the world, what's behind the Mishkan was really the Briyas HaOlam. Whatever Avoda went into building the Mishkan, Kivayachal went into building the world. Any activity that went into producing the Mishkan, Kivayachal was an activity that went into the Sheishes Yimei Bereishis. How are we supposed to know what God rested from on Yom HaShvi'i? What we rested from the Mishkan, is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested from on Yom HaShvi'i. What we needed to do for the Mishkan is what Kivayachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for the world. That's why we learn Malacha from the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu had this machlokes with Bezalel. Of course, the point of the Mishkan was not the outside box and the covering. It's the pnimius. Moshe Rabbeinu was, of all human beings, the most pnimius bigger person alive. Medrash says he was chatzi ulamayla malach v'chatzi ulamata adam. He had risen to such a tremendous madrega. He was, his body itself was half, the upper half of his body became a spiritual entity. He spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, panim neged panim. He went up for 40 days, 40 nights. He was lifnai v'lifnim, complete pnimius. Moshe Rabbeinu, he has the Eibush to say, v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'zaycham. Vasuli Aroin Atse Shitim. Moshe Rabbeinu understands the ikkar of the Mishkan is the Panemius. So you gotta start right away with the Panemius. Let's build the Mishkan from the Kalim outward. Start with the Kalim right away, Panemius. Comes along Bezalel. And Bezalel says, No, Moshe Rabbeinu. We're in Olam Hazeh. And the Minig HaOlam, Ha'olam, the minhag ha'olam, is first the outside, and then the inside. He wasn't comparing the Mishkan to somebody moving into his house. Are you crazy? Did he compare the Mishkan to somebody who cares about people's furniture? That's not what he was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. What he was telling Moshe Rabbeinu is, Moshe, I am more in tune with the chitzainius of the world. I'm more in tune in understanding with how to approach the pnimius for the people that are on the outside. You're looking from the inside out. We're looking from the outside in. And the way for us to approach the Mishkan, and the way for us to approach the Pnimius, for the way for us to approach our Midas, and fixing up our insides, is starting from the outside and working our way in. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu says, ah! That's your name! Bezalel! What does Bezalel mean? Bezalel, Kel! If there's anything more outside of something, it's its shadow. Not Stam, you're with Hashem. I'm also with Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is more with Hashem than anybody else. But you have an understanding that comes from the outside. You're able to understand the value of the outside imagery of the insides. Bezalel, Kel HaYisa! You're not lifnai v'lifnim like I am. You're on the outside in a good way. And you're able to see everything from the outside image, how it's supposed to be. Bezalel, in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu you are. You're able to understand from the outside how this imagery of the Mishkan is going to work, how to go from the outside in, to go from first the Krushim and the Oyel and the top of the Mishkan, and then work on the Kalim, and you're right. That's the correct approach that's needed for Olam Hazeh. You know why Klai Yisrael got such a huge patch by Haman? even though all they did was just bow down? They didn't understand the value of their outsides. It's chitzonius. What's chitzonius? I'm just bowing down. My heart's not there with it. Who cares? I'm doing a political move, a little bow. What is it? I don't believe in the Tzelem. I don't believe in the Nebuchadnezzar. I think the Nebuchadnezzar has a shtick garnished. You bow down. What's the big deal? Ani Yehudi Balev. In my heart, God's the only one. In my heart, we all love Mordechai. But we're just going to the Sudas Achashverosh because it's a political move. Klal Yisrael didn't understand the value of just what's on the outside. And that's Gufo why we got such a huge patch just on the outside. Kadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Klal Yisrael a lesson. It's not just the outside. That is the whole mechanism of the world. This world works with the outside, not the insides. The only way to get to the inside is from the outside. You guys bowing down just on the outside, I'm going to show you what an outside act can do. I'm going to put on a little facade just on the outside, and look how it's going to be tutuching inside. You're going to be going crazy from Haman. It's going to totally turn yourselves over to such a level of tshuva. From what? Just from a little outside face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A little facade that there's a gezeira going on. It's not a real thing. It's just on the outside. But look at the power of the outside. Look what chitzonius can do. Look what this little imagery, this fake out, how powerful it is. That's the lesson of Purim. A quick maisa, one of the Chartkava Rebbes. He was being hounded and chased down by the Russian Tsar. The Russian Tsar had put up a bid on a huge piece of real estate in Yerushalayim. And the Chartkava Rebbe, who was extremely wealthy, he put up a counter bid. And the Tsar was not happy about it. The Chartkava Rebbe didn't want a guy to get such a huge chelek of Eretz Yisrael. And he put in all his resources to put up a bid against the Tsar. And afterwards, he mamash had redifus. He had to run into Golis. He had to hide. He had to escape. It was terrible. And one year, he told his chassidim, where he was going to have this tish, he told one of his very trusted chassidim that he wants him to dress up like the Tsar. And in the middle of the Suda, he should walk in, and they should have a debate. Who's right and who's wrong? He should debate it, fight it out. Because he wants it to be over with already. And this chusid came in, Taka, in the middle of the Rebbe's praving tish. In walks the Tsar, a whole bunch of soldiers. And he comes in, and he starts screaming at the Rebbe. And the Rebbe and the Tsar, and they have this whole debate, back and forth and back and forth. And this chusid happened to have been extremely sharp. Really sharp. And at the end of the debate, he came out on top. And it says that the Chartkava Rebbe was unbelievably disturbed. Sent him out, Benazifa, Imamish was upset at the Chassid. Get out of here. I don't want to see you. Leave. And Taka the Radifas continued, and I don't know what the end result was. But the Rebbe said, you think what goes on over here, all this dress up and everything, doesn't do anything in Shemayim? He enacted this Bezdin Shalmaila of the Tsar against me. And it was extremely disturbing to see that he won. Purim is an experience of exposing the outside. Nichnas yayin yotzasayit. We're appreciating on Purim the tremendous, tremendous value of chitzonius. We're a whole year long, we always speak about pnimius, 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 pnimius. On Purim, we celebrate and recognize the value of chitzonius, the outsides. Not only that, our deepest recesses of our heart. You know what we do on Purim? We bring it out. We expose it. Purim, there's no tzlius. Not the guf. The guf is tzlius. But on Purim, there's no tzlius of the insides. You could daven and with all your hergeshim, let them out. You drink, and all the side, all the secrets, all the feelings, they come out. On Purim, it's a mila to show and expose and bring out and show your appreciation for the chitzonius. And the value of the chitzonius comes out tremendously in Purim. That's why in Purim we do ad lo yada, to the extent that our whole being, there is no Purim. We destroy the Purim of Purim. Goodbye. Ad lo yada, there's no more brain. It's gone. There's no more das. All we are on Purim is a shtick guf. It's just our outsides, just that glove, just that skin. That's what we are on Purim. We're a shell of a human. That's who we are in Purim. Because we're appreciating the tremendous value of Kitzonius. That's Pshan in Purim, and that's Pshan in the Mishkan. The Mishkan wasn't just the Mishkan. If you realize and understand what this world's about, you understand that the whole world, everything, the entire world is a skin for the spiritual entity that every single thing exists really is. Every single thing in the world has a spiritual energy, a spiritual havaya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants this thing to exist. And you're seeing it in its physical imagery. But there's a program. There's a program behind it. It's called Dvar Hashem. Lo ya'alechem levad yichya adam. A person doesn't live on bread, on carbs. We think you live on bread. The chemist will tell you it's not bread, it's the carbs. You know, and the guy is getting deeper. It's not the carbs; it's the sugars that make up the carbs, right? You get deeper and deeper. And what do we say? Lo yalechem al dvar Hashem yichya adam. What are we living from? It's the dvar Hashem that this bread should sustain a human being. That's making it sustain. It's not the bread. It's not the carbs. It's not the sugar. It's the dvar Hashem that's in there. God said this should be lechem and it should sustain humankind. It'll sustain humankind. And that's the entire world is a world of imagery of what's really behind the scenes of a spiritual entity. So in the parashiyos of the Mishkan, we have to gain an appreciation for Chitzonius. The Big Day Kahuna, the Purim, all of this is to give us a tremendous appreciation for Chitzonius. It's just on the outside, just on the outside. The way to get to our insides is only from the outside. I'll give a few practical applications and we'll be finished. The number one thing, back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Niskasha about the Machtzis HaShekel. Pshari was Niskasha. Pshari is again, Moshe Rabbeinu was Kol Kulei Pnim. He was Lefnai V'Lefnim. The Bari Yalim says, you know how the Mishkan's going to work? Everybody donate a machtzis a shekel. It's like, Moshe Rabbeinu, machtzis a shekel. Money. From money, you're going to build the Shechina? Like, come on. It's a different world out there. The money world's a different world. How are you building a Mishkan from money? He built a Mishkan, maybe Davin. The base of Migdash HaShlishi is going to be Nivne Mi'esh, we know, right? Davin for Mashiach, that's how you build the base of Migdash, right? How do you build a Mishkan? Do extra mitzvahs. That's how you build a Mishkan. Donate money? That's how you do a fundraiser. What do you mean, build a Mishkan with money? Kodesh Baruch Hu had to show him, no. The outward act, that Chitzoni is the gemaisa of giving a coin. It's not that coin. What's behind the coin? There's a spiritual ruchnius behind the coin. And the way that Klal Yisrael approaches the Mishkan is not through the tefilos, and it's not through the pnimius. The way that Klal Yisrael approaches the Mishkan is through the coin. But I'm going to show you what's behind the coin. Behind that coin is taka, tremendous ruchnius. Matbeya shaleish. A koyach of nedivus lev that lives within Klal Yisrael, tremendous. That generosity and that rotzin to connect with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, all that is within that little coin. But yeah, on the outside, we're going around, we're making a fundraiser for the Mishkan, and everybody's pitching in their coin. Every single act, every mitzvah that we have, which is an act on the outside, is tremendously affecting the insides. It's moving worlds. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu about money. So we have chesed. We all know with chesed, even if your heart's not there, and if you have a relationship issue with somebody, and you're not in the mood of doing the guy a favor, you're not in the mood of smiling, you know what? Do it anyway. Because that's what's going to get the heart going. The chitzonius. We know that if you have to give tzedakah and you got $100 to give, it's better to split that $100 into 1,000 parts and give it out incrementally in tiny, tiny acts than to give it in one act. Because that little act of giving every single time is doing tremendous things to you. It's affecting your soul. It's turning you into a generous person. Chesed, smiling to somebody, a favor to somebody, acting as if you love him, even if right now you don't. But the act on the outside does tremendous things. It moves worlds. Yira, fear of God. Huh? Come on, I don't fear Hashem so much, you know. That's for the real frumis, that's for the real yare. You know, the Mishnah Berurah says a yare shamayim should do this, not me. You're right. And I'm not saying we're all what the Mishnah Berurah calls a yare shamayim. And there is an approach of thought that people say that it's inappropriate for stam a person to do it. It's like gaiva. Of a me'idach kisa, if we don't act like a yare shamayim, we're never going to be one. How do we get there? How do you get to Yira? How do you get to Bamot Torum Keren Yisrael, the first thing that we ask? How do you lift up the head of a Yid? Not through the psychologist. By doing outward acts. A person acts as a caregiver, as a donator, it lifts him up. That's what happens. You give the Machzis a shekel, it picks you up. You act as a Yare, it creates Yira. It doesn't have to work the other way around. From the Yira, you do an act of Yira. You do acts of Yira, it'll produce it in you. Tefillah. How do we approach davening? Davening is such an issue. Gemara says it's from the four things that always needs chizik. This was in the times of the Gemara. Always needs chizik. And one of the Manda Amrim in the Gemara says, we should give haidah and thanks and recognize the wonderful chesed that our head does for us. Because if our head didn't automatically bow by maidim, we would never know where we're up to. This is a Gemara. So tefillah needs chizik, no? But you know something? To work inside out is very hard. But you know what we could do? We could work from the outside in. You know what? Dress appropriately for tefillah. Dress like you're talking to the Melech Malchim, Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sit. The physical positioning of how you sit by davening. And if we do these little outward acts by davening, they will affect our insides. It works. It's brought down la halacha. Rabbeinu Yoina says it. He tells you how to sit by Kriya Shema. Your feet on the floor, your hands in front of you, sitting straight up, not reclining. These things are all outward acts that develop a certain feeling of humility when you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It promotes concentration. These little outward acts could do a world for us. It's so much harder to do it the other way around. Let's focus on the chitzonius. One last thing, I just want to give a disclaimer. When I say the outside, it doesn't mean the outside that other people should be noticing. We're talking about outward acts for ourselves as a form of a practice and a form of a avodah for ourselves, not for show. These are outward acts for ourselves. And v'shetaka v'zeicha to v'shachanti v'zeicha.